Friday night, when we come home following singing Shalom Aleichem and Eish Eschayil, we make Kiddush. Now, a few words to the wise. We're beginning the Shabbos meal, and it is important to think of the importance of the Shabbos meal not only as the mitzvah of honoring the Shabbos and enjoying the Shabbos, but also as one of the focal points of chinuch of our children. When we approach the Shabbos meal, we should invest thought and preparation for Shabbat and the Shabbos meals. We have to think how to make it that the Shabbos meals are entertaining for our children, are interesting for our children. When guys are newly married and they ask me whether they should learn with their wives, I tell them sometimes it works, more often it does not work. Just because a couple could be a great couple in life doesn't mean they're a good chavruta. Many couples do not work well learning together. Men approach things differently than women. But one thing I will tell you, if you're going to learn with your wives, then prepare before you learn with them. When they sit down to learn with you, they want to feel like you know what you're talking about, and they're going to ask you a lot of questions which you won't know the answer to. When I sit down with my wife to learn, as much as I prepare, I end up feeling like an amoret. I get a ton of questions, which are legitimate and good questions, but I don't know the answer to them. But you have to do your own. You have to work and prepare before you sit with your wife to learn, so that at least you'll have the basic answers, and she'll feel like she's enjoying the learning. She has a husband who knows something. Well, if that's true for your chavruta with you and your wife, which you don't have to do, there's no obligation to sit and learn chavruta with your wife, but you do have an obligation to learn with your children. And the one time during the week which is most conducive for building the parent-child relationship and learning with the children in a friendly and non-threatening environment, we're not learning for a test in school, we're not learning because we're part of a program, we're sitting around the Shabbos table. Well, those moments of Shabbos can have a tremendous impact on the children. And it is your obligation as parents to take the time and prepare for the Shabbos meal. So even though we're supposed to begin learning about Kiddush, I think it's important to speak a few minutes about this concept. The Shabbos meal, we have a mitzvah to have a Shabbos meal. True. We have a mitzvah to enjoy Shabbos, to honor Shabbos. That's all true. But we have a mitzvah of chinuch of our children. And we have to know that one of the keys to our children's hearts is the Shabbos meal. And so we have to think how to make the Shabbos meal something that the children enjoy. I prepare stories for my children. I'll prepare stories just like I'm reading from Tuasu Chachameinu. So that's an excellent set anyone can get. You can take the Midrash says. Don't sit there at the Shabbos table thumbing through the pages so you can quickly have something to say. No. Take the time Friday afternoon. Or prepare every Matzei Shabbos for the next Shabbos. Be prepared. When Shabbos comes in, you have to be prepared to tell stories. And there's no reason to take Cinderella or Goldilocks and tell the children those stories. Some of them have very cruel underlying themes. And even those that do not, there's very little that the child will gain from them. At the same time, you could tell them the stories that we have on the web. You have many, many stories that have excellent messages, and you could tell them the stories of Tanakh. More important, go over with them what they learned during the week. Express an interest. At the Shabbos table, you're supposed to ask your child, what did you learn this week? What parsha is it? So when I'm sitting with my 2-year-old daughter, if she can tell me the parsha, I'm very impressed. And of course, we should have special foods for Shabbos. So today they have these little chocolate lentils that you could give out. They're parv. You could give those out at the table. You could give out peanuts. You could give out nuts. You could give out raisins. You could give out grapes. Whatever your children happen to like, however you're going to raise them. It's nice to have a special food in honor of Shabbos. It's nice that the parents also train the children that we buy things that are special in honor of Shabbos. So if there's a food that the children especially like that isn't so cheap, a food that you're not going to buy frequently, it's nice that you get them used to the idea that you're going to buy it in honor of Shabbos. When you're sitting around the table, if you show an interest in what your children are learning, you're showing them it's important. If when they start telling you what they're learning, you're interested in other things, you're giving them a very clear message about how important their learning is to you. It's important at the Shabbos table to take the time to give each child their time and to try to ensure that we leave the chinuch, whatever chinuch we can leave for the rest of the week, we should leave for the rest of the week. At the Shabbos table, we should try to avoid confrontation. We should try as much as we can to make the atmosphere pleasant. there are going to be things that you can't let a kid get away with. If one kid is sitting at the table putting at his sister's ponytails, well, you got to do something. If he's he's pouring Coke all over the challah, then you have a problem. I'm not saying that there's no chinuch at the Shabbos table. There's going to have to be a certain amount of discipline at the Shabbos table as well. But whatever we can avoid, we should avoid. The thing that we want to is, we want to suffuse the Shabbos table with a pleasant atmosphere. It should be something the children look forward to, and it should be something that we all attend. And that is why, before I'm saying the Kiddush, before we're going into Kiddush, I want to make a point of all the children being there for Kiddush. In general, I believe parents should be easygoing. A child wants to play during the meal, so he can play a little bit. Maybe the meal is too long for a child to sit at the table. But when Kiddush is beginning, when we're starting the meal, then all the children should be present. A child shouldn't be out there playing with his tractor, or out on the porch playing with his friend, or out in the yard when we're making Kiddush. No. The 2-year-old, the 5-year-old, the 7-year-old, the 12-year-old, they should all be there. And I'm not a big fan of children spending Shabbos at other children's homes. I think that it's very important that the children be home for Shabbat. Once in a while, a child has a bar mitzvah he wants to go to, a child has a friend he wants to go to. So of course, after you've checked out the home and you see it's a home, you don't mind the child being there, so there's nothing wrong with it. But it shouldn't be the way I've seen, unfortunately, in many homes, that children can spend almost every Shabbos at least one meal away from home. I've seen many homes where that's accepted, and I think it's wrong. I think parents are really neglecting their responsibility of chinuch. The child should be there at the Shabbos table. What you could give him at the Shabbos table, no one else is going to give him. Let him play with his friends during the week. Again, once in a while, fine. But there has to be a norm. And the norm is that the child is home and you're spending the Shabbos meal together. You have to work on it with your wives also, what you're going to do to make the Shabbos meal special for the kids. There are Shabbatot where I dance with my children. I come home and that's the time we dance together. As we sing Shalom Aleichem, we dance. There are Shabbatot where they get piggyback rides. Shabbos is when they get their piggyback rides. There are all kinds of things, depending on the child's age, that's what they get. There's a famous story that Rav Chaim, when he came home from shul Friday night, he was the great rabbi of the town, he was the famous rabbi of Europe. When he came home, he'd close the door behind him and get on all fours, and the children would grab the back of his long black coat and hold on to it and go giddy up, giddy up, and he'd go around all fours around the house, and he was their horse, and they were riding horse and buggy. And he said, that's their onik Shabbos. So he didn't do it in front of the community. But how do we know the story? Because it's his son. His son told over the story. His son, who was also a great rabbi, remembered the story. It made an impact on the child. So we have to think how to talk on their levels and how to make the Shabbos pleasurable on their level, and also how to suffuse the Shabbos with content and holiness. Part of it is going to be the song, part of it is going to be the learning Torah, and part of it is going to be the stories. If you don't know stories, you're not a good storyteller. So today they have Me'orot HaShabbat. It's a beautiful work. They have short stories for every meal, and they have short halachot, the laws of Shabbos, for every meal. It's very cheap, every person can afford it, and that's an easy way to do it. But it doesn't fit for every level. When my son sits on my lap and he sees the Me'orot HaShabbat that we're reading, so he's not on a level where he could hear the stories yet. What he looks at is the pictures. So he's looking at the pictures and he sees a bunch of children sitting around the Shabbos table and challahs and candles and something's going on. So I make up a story around that picture. So I tell him, here, you see, this Shabbos had a very tough time. All the stores ran out of challah, and they knew it was important. Every meal, you're supposed to have two challahs to commemorate the twice month that we got on Shabbos. So I'm telling him a story. But in the story, I'm including many, many points that, without his noticing, he's learning a lot of points. That every meal we have two challahs, that the two challahs commemorate the month, that we're supposed to work extra hard to ensure that we have those two challahs for Shabbos. So I'm not telling him the story that it says in the book. He looked at the story and he saw the picture, and I want to know, what does the picture say? So you make up a story, and in that story you tell him a lot of things that he has to know. And without further ado, let's begin our Kiddush. We have a biblical mitzvah, one of the Ten Commandments, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat leKadosho. Remember the day of Shabbos to give it sanctity, to give it holiness. What does that mean, remember the day of Shabbos? So our sages said that this applies in a few fashions. Firstly, remember the day of Shabbos all week long. If you see a special food, you see something you like, buy it in honor of Shabbos. You go to the store and you see they have chocolate-covered liqueurs. So you want to buy it. And you know your wife is going to give you a hard time. She's going to say, we can't afford it. But you're going to buy it anyways. So maybe you shouldn't buy it. I'm not saying you should. But if you already bought it, so save it for Shabbos. You're not buying it usually. You want to buy it today, fine. Buy it. Whatever. I'm not going into between you and your wife. But you bought something special. You bought something you're not going to buy all week. So then buy it in honor of Shabbos. Our sages said, Zocheu, remember the day of Shabbos to honor it throughout the week. Another halacha that we learn from this pasuk is that we're supposed to give sanctity to the day of Shabbos when it enters and when it leaves. So when it enters, how do we sanctify the Shabbos? We proclaim the sanctity of the Shabbos with a blessing. And that blessing is Kiddush. So the blessing of Kiddush, we introduce it with the Yom HaShishi. And we say it over a cup of wine. So that's why we're going to hold a cup of wine and begin with Yom HaShishi, and then say the blessing on the cup of wine, say the blessing over the day of Shabbos, and then drink that cup of wine. At the end of Shabbos, we denote the fact that Shabbos is leaving and the weekday is coming in with Havdalah, which is also a blessing in which we stress the separation between the weekday and the holy day of Shabbos. And we do it over a cup of wine. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll get to the blessing of Havdalah. But now let's just practice reading the Kiddush with the tune of the Kiddush. And we begin quietly with the words Vayhi Erev Vayhi Voker, which is the beginning of the verse of Yom HaShishi. And when we say those words, Vayhi Erev Vayhi Voker, then what we're really doing is we're completing the verse of Yom HaShishi. We're also completing the Yudke Vavke, but that's for a different time. So we begin quietly. We hold the cup in our right hand. The Kabbalists say that you should hold the cup at the bottom of the cup. If you want to, you could do that. You could also hold the cup normally. Yom HaShishi Vayechulu Hashamayim Vaaretz Vechol Tzeva'am Vayechal Elohim Vayom HaShivii Melachto Asher Asa Vayishbot Vayom HaShivii Mikol Melachto Asher Asa Vayivarech Elohim Et Yom HaShivii Vayikadesh Oto Kivo Shavad Mikol Melachto Asher Bara Elohim Lasot Savri Maranan V'Ramanan V'Rabotai. Savri, we're telling them, listen, I'm about to make a blessing. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Borei Peri HaGafen. Some have the custom to sit down at this point. The Yekis have the custom that at this point they sit down. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvotav V'Ratzavanu V'Shabbat Kodesho B'Ahava U'Ratzon Hinchilanu Zikaron L'Maaseh V'Reishit Ki Hu Yom Techila L'Mikra'ei Kodesh Zecher L'Tziat Mitzrayim Kibanu V'Charta V'Otanu Kiddashta Mikol Ha'amim V'Shabbat Kodshecha B'Ahava U'Ratzon Hinchaltanu Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbat. And then we drink from the wine. The one who makes the Kiddush should drink Rov Revi'it, the majority of a Revi'is, which is about this much on a cup. And we should pour other people to drink as well. You can pour before you drink from it, because many people are finicky. What you could do is have a cup next to you and pour a third of the cup, let's say, into the other cup. Then you drink, and then you pour from that other cup into everyone else's cups. This way they don't get your germs. You could also give everyone their own cup beforehand. And when you make the blessing of Borei Pri HaGafen, you have to have in mind that you're making this blessing on behalf of everyone present. And they should have in mind that you're being motzi them. You're saying it on their behalf. Yes? Go ahead.
Yom HaShishi Vayechulu Hashamayim Vaaretz Vechol Tzeva'am Vayechal Elohim Vayom HaShivii Melachto Asher Asa
Friday versions. I don't know.
Like the Turkish
Istanbul. Huh?
Yeah. Exactly. Before we pass wine, someone saying that until Rabbanan,
what? Manan and Rabbanan Rabotai? It's different customs, but I don't know the basis for the customs. I don't know. It's quoted in different places. The L'chaim is quoted by the Sephardi Kabbalists, and this version is quoted in ancient texts, Savri Ma'anan Ra'anan Rabotai, but I don't know. The idea of saying Savri is quoted in the Jerusalem Talmud or also in the Babylonian. I don't remember if also in the Babylonian, but the idea is that if people are eating, so we want them to listen because I'm going to make a blessing on behalf of them as well. So I say, Savri, listen, I'm making a blessing for you too. Don't eat anything so you don't end up choking while you say Amen to my blessing. And so our sages instituted that in all blessings we say Savri, even though right now no one's eating. But our sages instituted whenever we make a blessing on wine, we say Savri. Let's quickly go through the Kiddush and just translate, explain what the Kiddush means. So it was night, it was day, it was the Friday, the sixth day. And the heaven, the sky, and the earth were complete, and all of their armies, the stars of the heavens. And God concluded on the seventh day all of his work that he had done. And God rested on the seventh day from all work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and God sanctified it. For on it God rested from all of his work that God created to make, to do. Listen up, my rabbis, my teachers, honorable people, Maganan, okay, however you'll translate that. Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you Hashem Elokeinu, our God, Melech Olam, King of the World, Borei Pri Hagafen, who creates the fruit of the grapevine. And that is the grape, and then the wine we make from it. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu, Melech Olam, blessed are you Hashem, our God, King of the World, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav, that gave us sanctity through the mitzvos, V'ratzavanu, and God wanted us, God chose us, so to speak, V'Shabbat Kodesho, and Shabbos, His holy Shabbos, he gave us as an inheritance, he gave us as a nachala, as our portion, he gave it to us with love, with goodwill. Zikaron lemaaseh bereshit, it's a commemoration of the works, the initial works of creation. Ki hu yom tchila lemikrai kodesh, for this, the day of Shabbos, is the first of the days in which we proclaim holiness, the days of holy gathering. Shabbos was the first. Zecher litziat Mitzrayim, it is also a commemoration for the exodus from Egypt. We know Shabbos has this dual function. It commemorates the seventh day of creation. It also commemorates leaving Egypt. Kivanu v'chatu v'tan kiddashtem kol amim, for you have chosen us and given us sanctity from all the nations. The Shabbat kodesha ba'avav rotzon inchaltanu, and you've given us your holy Shabbos with love and with goodwill. Baruch ata Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, mikadesh Shabbat, who gives sanctity to the Shabbos. So that's a quick overview of Kiddush. At a different time, we should really go more in depth into understanding the Kiddush and what the blessing means. But for now, that's a quick introduction and a quick understanding of the Kiddush. After Kiddush, we wash our hands, make the blessing of Al Netilat Yadayim, dry our hands. We wash each hand twice. We pour from a cup of water onto each hand twice, and then whilst the hands are still wet, we make the blessing an netilat yadayim and dry our hands, and then we come to the table, and the one who's the head of the house makes the blessing on the two loaves of bread. There should be two challahs on the table. Traditionally, we call those loaves of bread challah, because in not so long ago, up until the last century, the Jews didn't bake their bread during the week. All week long, they would purchase bread from the non-Jewish baker, Pat Talter. And when Shabbos came, so then they would make Jewish bread, and the woman of the house would take off challah. So in honor of Shabbos, they would eat Jewish baked bread, and the woman would take off challah. We know there are certain things that we do with Shabbos that commemorate the time of creation. Kiddush we make over wine. According to one understanding, Adam HaRishon sinned with wine. That was the Eitz Hadas. It was a grape. So we take the wine and we do something holy with it on this Friday night. When Adam sinned, we do something holy. We do Kiddush. The woman caused the death of man when she gave him from the Eitz Hadas. So the man is called Chalato Shel Olam. He is, so to speak, the Chala of the world. So the woman was given the mitzvah of taking off challah, and in preparation of Shabbos, the custom is that women bake an amount that they can take off challah, the mitzvah of challah. And that is why our bread on Shabbos was given the nickname of challah. Really, it's not challah. Challah is the portion that we take off and give to the kohen. But being that the woman took extra care to bake bread in honor of Shabbos from which they could take off challah, so they nicknamed the bread that we eat challah. We are supposed to have two loaves for each meal. And the one who heads the house places his two hands on the two loaves. He places one loaf on top of the other. And then the halacha says that he leaves the cover over the bread. So we commemorate the man that was given to the Jewish people. We were given a double portion of man. And that's why we have two loaves of bread. And the man we know had an encasing and had a layer of dew beneath it and a layer of dew on top of it. So to commemorate that, we have the challah board. We have some kind of, you could also have a napkin under the challah. We have something under the challah and something over the challah. And while the challah is still covered, we hold both challahs with our 10 fingers, with our 2 hands, and we make the blessing of Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Blessed are you, Hashem, who takes out bread from the ground. God makes the wheat grow, which, from which we can make bread. Note that the blessing of Hamotzi, being that lechem is a mil'el, it's not lechem, but lechem. So we have a concept of nasoga cho, that when you have a mil'el like that, the word before that is also a mil'el. So it's not hamotzi lechem, but rather hamotzi lechem min ha'al. The correct pronunciation is hamotzi. The stress is on the mim, on that syllable. After making the blessing of hamotzi on Friday night, we take the bottom challah, the Kabbalist said we should take the bottom challah, and we slice a piece that is big enough for the head of the house to eat, to have a big piece for the meal, that should suffice him for the meal, and to take from that piece a piece that is big enough, a kezias, for each of the members of the table. So if you guys come to me on Friday night, sometimes we'll have 10 guys around the table, or 10 people total around the table, so that basically means the whole challah. Because if you take a slice for each person that's big enough to have a kezayit, that's about 10 slices of a challah, and then I'm supposed to be left with a slice that's big enough for the whole meal. Usually that doesn't happen. But that's the ideal of what's supposed to happen at when you slice the challah. Yeah?
Why Jews ate non-Jews bread?
So they usually, when we say that they ate pat palter, it means that it was kosher bread. They knew that all the ingredients were kosher. But our sages instituted that ideally one is not supposed to buy food that was baked primarily by a non-Jew. Our sages said if you end up eating meals together, you eat his homemade goodies, he eats your homemade goodies, you're going to end up intermarrying. So our sages said a person should not eat food that was homemade by a non-Jew.
Yes.
But let's say it's not homemade, it's made in his bakery, and we know all the ingredients are kosher, so there our sages made a leniency. They said just because you're buying in his bakery, that's not going to lead to your son marrying his daughter. So that's the concept of pat palter, that bread that was baked by a baker, palter is a baker, so that our sages permitted us to buy, even though it was baked by a non-Jew.
Yiddish palter.
What?
Yiddish palter.
No, palter is Aramaic.
Aramaic.
Yeah.